You're listening to another inspirational message from Bell Road Church. If you live in the North Phoenix area and are looking for a church community, we'd love to have you join us. It's a great place for the whole family where you can have fun and grow closer to Jesus. For more information, visit us at www.bellroadchurch.com.
Awesome to have you guys here this morning. You may have noticed there is a card and a bracelet on your chair. So I just want to say, don't put the bracelet on yet. Hey, don't put it on. Maybe you jumped the gun already. That's okay. Okay, take it off. Okay, we're going to do that a little bit later all together. So don't do that yet. And by the way, my name's Tyrone, I'm the pastor here. And if this is your first time, thanks for joining us. Super honored and glad that you would be here. I believe today is going to be a good day for you. Hope that you have some fun, but I think God has some significant things for you, because I believe he has some significant things for all of us. So you ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right. So some of you are probably saying, why on earth is he wearing a Seahawks jersey? Does he not know that the season is over? Yes, I do. All right. So part of me is in denial, I guess. I'm in denial that they actually lost to the Cowboys of all people. Come on, weren't the Cowboys fans here last service? Why are you guys here again? Oh my goodness. Just kidding. part of it, I guess, is I'm in mourning. So this is kind of my last chance to wear it. So that's why I'm wearing it. But in the midst of that, I'm still excited about a lot of things in life, just so you know. I'm excited about what God's doing here at our church. I'm excited about this month. We're doing Family Month. Lots of fun things going on, as you can tell. And the rain's not going to dampen our fun today. All right, so we're going to have some fun. So stick around afterwards for some free brunch. You're wondering, where am I going to have lunch today? Right here. We got some free brunch for you. It's going to be great. So hope you can stick around and have some fun there. We got lots of cool things coming up this month. Amy mentioned several of those, but one more thing I wanted to throw out. In 2 weeks, we want to pray for couples that have been longing and desiring to have a child, but it hasn't happened for them. It's Sanctity of Life Sunday, and so we want to take some time and pray for them by name, if possible. If you know of a couple like that, or if you are a couple like that, we'd love to pray for a miracle to happen for you and your spouse. We believe God can do that. I've seen God answer this prayer, and so we'd like to do that on 2 Sundays, so let us know if you're interested in that. So that's one of the special things we're doing. We got lots of special things going on this month. You'll hear about all of those, but one of the things we're doing this month is every Sunday morning, the series is going to center around this show called This Is Us. Have you heard of this show? Any fans of this show out there? Okay, it's a great show. America is captivated by the show for the most part. I was thinking this year, like, why is America in love with this show? And it's not everybody, obviously. Maybe you don't care, but a lot of people in America do. Why are they in love with the show? In my opinion, there's a couple reasons, a couple things that stand out. One is the awesome relationship that the three siblings have. It's the big three, they call them. They're really tight-knit. They still communicate. They're there for each other. They help each other. Even as they've grown up, now they live in different cities across the United States, but they still have this good family relationship. And so I think we love that. Something about that resonates with us because we desperately want close family. And so the picture of that, the idea of that just kind of warms our heart, and we like that, so we connect with that because we long for good family connection like they have. So I think that's one of the reasons. I think we also identify with just the humanity of the show. All the things that they walk through, we really connect with. There's successes where they're celebrating and we're excited with them. And then there's times where they're struggling and we identify with those elements too, where they're struggling through life, they're struggling through tragedy, all of that. And so we just kind of emotionally kind of connect with all of that. And one of the major themes that I've noticed as I've watched this show is the fact that these three siblings, they're still dealing with major hurt and pain because of a tragedy from the past. And it could be a couple of different instances, but here they are in present life, and their past is still affecting them today. And I watched the show and I'm like, why are you allowing this to hurt you so much? Like, hey, just let it go. Can't you just move on? You ever find yourself thinking that when you're watching shows like this? Like, hey, just move on. That was years ago, okay? So the big three, the siblings are Kate, Kevin, and Randall. So Kate, she feels like the death of her father is her fault. Spoiler alert, sorry if you're just watching the show, just starting. There it is, right there, okay? Everything centers around that for the first couple of seasons, all right? So she feels like it's her fault. She can't move past that. She struggles to cope with that. One of her big coping mechanisms is she just eats. That's something her father did when he was around, gave her some food. So she just eats to cope with the pain. And then on top of that, she never feels like she measures up to her mom. So that's Kate. Then you got Kevin. Kevin's the guy on the left there. He struggles to feel noticed and important. He really, really wants that. So how he copes with his hurt and his pain and tragedy that they've all faced is he goes to the bottle. He gets addicted to alcohol. He goes to even pain medication. And so addiction is how he copes with his pain. And it's ironic because that was the same thing that his father did. Then you got Randall. Randall's on the right there. He struggles with anxiety. And sometimes it's extreme, like debilitating anxiety. It just takes him out. He doesn't feel like he belongs anywhere. He tries to put up this front like, I'm perfect, I got everything under control. He tries to control things, and so that's how he copes with stuff. And so that's the big three. That's the struggles, the issues that you see. And the truth is, those are real life issues. That's why we identify with this show. There's a lot of people today that are needlessly suffering today because of issues from their past. Just like we see in the show, we see it in real life. And maybe you identify with that. Maybe there are some areas in your life that you feel stuck in. Maybe you feel like there are some things, some events from your past that you can't move past. Maybe you feel like you can't escape them, and you feel like you're just in bondage. You're not moving forward. You're stuck in life. Well, if that's you, I've got great news for you. I've got a great message for you. I want to encourage you with this truth. Freedom is possible in Jesus. A life of freedom is possible in Jesus. You can be free from your past. You can be free from the pain of your past in Jesus. Now, as you hear that statement, there's two angles you can take that. Because some of us, we're already followers of Jesus. We've already committed our life to him. Yet, we find ourselves having these areas in life where we're not experiencing freedom. And so I just want you to know that it is possible, as you follow Jesus and trust him with your life, it is possible for you to be free even in those areas of life that you haven't seen freedom yet. And it's possible as you continue to follow and trust Jesus, but you're gonna have to take some of the stuff to him. He wants to help you. Maybe you're not following Jesus yet. Maybe this is all new to you and you're curious about this. I want you to know that as you commit your life to Jesus and when you make that decision, it's the greatest decision you could ever make in your life. And you can begin to experience a life of freedom in Jesus. I want you to know that a life of freedom is possible because of Jesus. Galatians 5 says this. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So Jesus wants you and I to live a life of freedom. He longs for you to be free. In fact, that's why he went to the cross. Jesus died on the cross so that you and I could experience freedom in our life. He didn't go to the cross so that you could deny or ignore your problems. He went to the cross so you could deal with them and overcome them. Jesus didn't go to the cross just so you and I could cope with issues in our life and just kind of struggle and barely make it through. No, Jesus went to the cross so that we could deal with them, face them, and overcome them and experience the healing and the freedom that he has. That's why he went to the cross. Man, when I watch shows like This Is Us and even other shows and movies, I find myself thinking, man, if they'd only just look to Jesus. You know, those of you that are believers, you ever think that way? Like, man, okay, this is a great show, a great story, but if we could just insert Jesus into this narrative and into their life, man, the whole outcome could be so much better, so much different. So if these people would trust Jesus, I find myself thinking this a lot as I watch This Is Us and lots of other shows. But here's the reality. We can be following Jesus, but still be stuck in certain areas of our life. I wish with all of my heart that the moment we commit our life to Jesus, we're pain-free, worry-free, and problem-free. Wouldn't that be great? Hey, got great news for you. If you ask for forgiveness for your sins, commit to following Jesus and trust him with your life, you will never have an issue for the rest of your life. That'd be a great promise to offer people. We'd probably see a lot more Christians, right? Because that'd be great. I wish that was the case, but that's not it. Okay, now that's the life that Jesus promises us in eternity. But for now, in this life, there's still pain, there's still struggles, there's still things that we go through. And so here's my encouragement to you today. I'm going to encourage you to courageously confront some issues in your life and maybe some events from your past, even as hurtful as that might be. Even as painful as that might be, to remember things from your past is not a fun thing, which is why many of us are still stuck, because we don't want to go there. We ignore it, we deny it, we repress it. But I want to encourage you to go that journey and to allow God to begin to do a healing and freeing work in our life. Now, you don't have to walk through and relive every painful experience in your life, okay? I'm not calling you to hyper-scrutinize your past. All right, but we got to understand there is a connection between our past events in life and our current living situation. The things we're experiencing in life, those are deeply connected. Even the good events affect us in a good way, but the bad stuff, the painful things, those can affect us and how we live and how we react and how we treat people. The life we experience today is connected to past events. We've got to understand there is a connection there. And because of that, many of us find ourselves in this place where we're carrying baggage. Some of us got too many bags on right now. Too much luggage, too much baggage. If you were here last week, Pastor Vanessa had a great message and illustrated that baggage. We got to let go of baggage. But you and I can find ourselves in this place where, because of hurts and because of unresolved issues, basically I'm carrying all these bags. And they're weighing me down. And sometimes we don't even realize it. But what is baggage? We understand baggage as it's, you know, we pack our luggage and our bags when we go on a trip and we take it with us because where we're going in the future, we need our baggage there, right? Okay, so I need that. Here's the interesting thing, is that we convince ourselves of that very thing in our life. We're carrying all this baggage around. We've convinced ourselves, I need this in my future. Where I'm going, I have to have this. Partly because we're comfortable with it, partly because we're used to it, partly because we don't want to deal with it. There's so many reasons. But Jesus, I believe, wants to look at you and say, hey, let me help you take off all this baggage. Let me help you be free. That's why I love that Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And if you are carrying heavy burdens, let me encourage you to bring them to Jesus and let him show you the light burden, how he wants to help you and strengthen you through this. So here's what's happened to most of us. We just learn to cope with our issues. We learn how to deal with them and just make the best of them. Yeah, I got this, but oh well. But I want you to know that coping's not enough. Coping's not freedom. To cope means I've learned to tolerate these existing situations in my life, and that is not freedom. Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants you to be free. That's why I want you to know that the life of freedom is possible in Jesus. So the question is, how do I get there? How do I experience that? How do I get unstuck in life? Have you ever asked yourself that? You ever wrestled with this? Now, oftentimes when we're thinking about this, we're thinking about things like behaviors that we don't like that are in our life, right? Like, I do this and I don't like it. I do this and bad things happen, so I need to stop this behavior. We're really into behavior modification. But that's not what I'm going after. I'm going after your heart today. See, we can't effectively change our behavior without changing our heart. So the great news is Jesus didn't die on the cross just for your behavior. He's not all about behavior modification. He's about your heart. He wants to change your heart. He wants to transform your heart. That's what he's into, life transformation, not behavior modification. And so it starts in our hearts. We got to go deep within, allow Jesus to change us from the inside out. And so the healthy way, the proper way to deal with things is we've got to face it head on. So what I want to do is I want to give you some principles in life that I think will help you. But here's what I want us to understand. Principles are good. They can be practical and beneficial because they show us, like, I need to do this specifically. But we don't just need the principles of life. We also need the presence of God in order to experience freedom. So we need both of these. The principles of life and the presence of God help us to live a life of freedom. So I just want you to know that heart and keep that in mind as I give you some principles here. Okay, it's really all about heart. The heart of all this lies this truth, that God is all about a life transforming relationship with you. That's what he's all about. In fact, From the beginning, God's been all about relationship. Did you know this? When God created Adam and Eve, they had this amazing relationship with their creator. Then they sinned, you know, Genesis 3, the fall of man, and we've all sinned, so we've all broken that relationship with God. That's why Jesus, the God-man, had to come to the cross to take care of that. He wanted to restore our relationship with our creator. He reconciled us back to him. God has always been about relationship, so everything I share here today has to center around a relationship with him. So we need the life principles, but we also need the presence of God to experience freedom in our life, right? So let me give you three steps to freedom. Three steps I want to encourage you to take, to work through, to even think about here this morning. So hopefully you're taking notes. We got some room on the backside of your program. There's some great stuff that I want to give you today that I believe is going to help you. I believe it's going to help you have a great year. Anyone want a great 2019? Yeah, come on. Anyone ready to leave 2018 in the past? Ready to move forward? Okay, so here's some steps you can take. I'd encourage you to write these things down. I'll give them to you just quickly here, briefly, and then we'll break it down. Number one is embrace reality, then embrace responsibility, and then embrace reconciliation. Those are three steps that you and I need to take in experiencing freedom. So let's talk about embracing reality. What is reality? Well, it centers around truth. Jesus said this, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's John 8. The truth will set you free. So we got to understand this. Only the truth has the power to set us free. But we have to be willing to find the truth, seek the truth, and we got to be honest with ourselves and face the truth. So this is all about embracing reality, embracing truth. And so in this, we've got to accept three realities. So there's three realities I want to encourage you with here. Number one is this. Our perception of reality may be wrong. Okay, as smart and brilliant and as amazing you are, you could possibly have the wrong perception of reality. It's possible. What's that thing called when you can't admit that you're wrong or you don't want to admit that you're wrong? It's pride? Pride, right? Okay, you and I, we all have it. Pride, it's a killer. It destroys us. It hinders so many people from experiencing healing and freedom in life. And so the moment that we begin to understand this and embrace this, that I could be wrong, that is the beginning of us being able to even receive freedom into our life. And so it's learning to understand that there's maybe some lies that I believe. You could be living according to lies in your life. We can convince ourselves easily of lies. Lies about yourself, lies about past events, lies about other people, even lies about God and who he is and his work in your life and in the world. There's so many lies that we can find ourselves believing. And so I want to encourage you to confront those lies, to change those lies, to destroy those lies. Now, how do you do that? You need truth, right? That's what we're talking about, right? Truth, reality. You've got to insert truth into that lie if you're going to break that lie. Well, where do we find truth? We find truth right here. This is the word of truth, okay? Jesus is truth. Remember, Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So let's talk about the second thing. We've got to embrace, first of all, my perception of reality might be wrong, but second of all, God is the source of truth. He is truth. Jesus himself said this, his words, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So that's a very bold and clear statement that Jesus made. And it's his words, not ours. Okay, like if we were to make up this Christianity thing, we'd probably say, hey, it's okay, lots of different roads to heaven. And this is one of the knocks that people have on Christianity. Oh, you guys are so exclusive. You got the only way to the afterlife, huh? The only way to heaven, huh? Like, well, it's not, we didn't come up with this. We're just following the words of Jesus, okay? It's his words, it's his teaching. And by the way, he predicted his death and resurrection and then he pulled it off. So you might want to listen to his teachings. He's a good guy to listen to. And so these are his claims here. And so he said, I am the truth, not a truth, not one of. He didn't say, I hope I'm the truth. He said, I am the truth, which means there is no truth higher than Jesus. He is the highest truth that there is, which means that because he is truth, he can set you free. Remember, the truth will set you free. Truth brings freedom. A life of freedom is possible because of Jesus. Okay, here's the third thing we need to embrace or accept is that this. I need to learn to be more self-aware. We've got to grow in this ability, this art of being self-aware. What does that mean? It's really the ability to know and understand what's going on inside of me. Sometimes we don't know. Why do I act this way? Is it really their fault, or is there some things going on in my heart that I need to maybe become more aware of? That's the issue. Is there things going on inside of us that I need to learn about? And it takes time. It takes practice. It takes opening ourselves up to God, allowing God to speak to us, reveal things to us. David spoke to this in Psalm 139. He said this. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." What David is doing there in Psalm 139 is he's saying, "God, I give you permission to help me become aware of what's going on inside of me. I know I'm struggling. I'm feeling this. Can you speak to me? Help me because I can't see it." Sometimes we're blind to our blind spots. Did you know that? So we call them blind spots. Yeah. Interesting concept, huh? I can't see my blind spots. And so I've got to learn to be self-aware even to my blind spots. So how do you grow on that? Ask God. Show me. Ask those around you that are close to you. Do you see any blind spots in me? Do you see any issues I could work on? Open yourself up to that conversation and listen and learn so that you can be self-aware. I like to journal. Journaling for me is a way that I can grow in being self-aware. And I just kind of write out my prayers and pour out my heart. And this happened just a month ago. I was having just this time alone in the morning with the Lord. And I'm journaling some things. And I'm wrestling through, like, why am I struggling with, like, feeling stressed and Why did I snap at the kids and say something to Amy I shouldn't? Why did I lose patience? Like, what's going on? And I realized something. As I'm journaling, God's kind of revealing this to me. Is this moment of self-awareness that I'm like, man, I need this. This is good, but why do I do this? And so what I was doing was, so often I find myself in my mind replaying past mistakes and bad conversations that I had with people. You ever done this before? I'm replaying them, and I'm thinking of what I said, and I'm thinking about what I should have said, and I'm feeling guilty. Why didn't I say that? And I'm thinking about what they should have said. Why didn't they say that? That idiot, you know, and you're going through all of this. You're replaying this in your mind, and you've done this before, right? And you start getting anxious. You get mad. You get anger, worry, and all these emotions rise up inside of you, and all of a sudden, why am I acting and treating my kids that way? It's because I've been replaying this stuff from the past, and it caused me to feel a certain way, and I'm taking it out on my kids in the present. And there was this crazy moment of like, oh, wow. And so it wasn't as much about the behavior modification as it was God was speaking to a heart issue. There was a heart issue that I needed to deal with, I needed healing of, and I needed him to help me so that I didn't lash out and respond the way I was, but it took self-awareness. So we're talking about embracing reality, right? Embrace reality, embrace truth. What is that? What does that take? Okay, our perception of reality may be wrong. God is a source of truth, and learn to be more self-aware. Okay, let's look at the second step here. Second step to freedom is this: embrace responsibility. We got to take ownership for who we are and what's going on in our life. Hey, there's a lot of people who remain stuck in life because it's everybody else's fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's my parents' fault. That's why I'm dealing with this today. Now, it may be somebody else's fault, but we have to embrace responsibility right now for today. And for now, how am I going to move forward in light of this? How am I going to take ownership of this? How am I going to deal with this now, today? Because my future does not have to be dictated by someone else's fault. So I got to take responsibility for what's going on in my life today. See, here's the danger. When we put someone else responsible for our problems, we think the only way to deal with those problems is they got to do something about it. And what we've done is we've convinced ourselves of this lie. Here's this lie that we believe. My actions won't help my situation. The other person must act. And so if I'm going to be free, if I'm going to be healed, if I'm going to move forward in life, they have to do something about it. Not me. And we convince ourselves of that, but it's a lie. I have to take responsibility for where I'm at right now. But unfortunately, this mindset, this lie, keeps many people stuck. They're in bondage. And they keep waiting for someone else to act. And some people wait their entire life and they're never free. They never healed because they just kept waiting. And don't let that be you. Embrace responsibility. Do it right now. And you could have experienced some tough things. I know, and this is hard to walk through, to think through, to remember, but man, don't let the pain of your past determine your future. Don't let it dictate your destiny. Well, begin to embrace what you can take responsibility for right now. I read this story about this lady who was raped twice in one evening. It's a horrible thing. Horrible story. Horrific event for this lady. A group of guys took her out to the outskirts of town. They raped her. They left her for dead. She was able to pick herself up and somehow manage. She started walking back into town. Wouldn't you know, as she's walking down the road, those guys drive by her on the road and they see her again. They grab her, take her again. They do the exact same thing again and leave her for dead again, twice in one night. This is horrible to even think about, that people would do this. She was able to pick herself up again, though, and walk into town. She made it to a hospital. She was able to recover physically, but you know what she did immediately? Her response was this: those men stole one night of my life, but I'm not going to let them steal anymore. And she began to forgive immediately. I'm going to forgive. And so part of responsibility is sometimes is doing that. You can't change the event, but you can forgive right now. Oh, they don't deserve it. I know. But do you want to be free? Or do you want to keep holding on to that? Forgive. You may not even feel like forgiving them. I'd encourage you to start speaking out that forgiveness. Embrace what you can do now so that you can begin to let go of the pain and don't let that affect your present and your future. So that leads us really into the third thing, is embracing reconciliation. That's essentially what you're doing, is you're embracing the ability to get reconciled. So this has to do with restoring, resolving events from the past and even relationships, relational issues. So it may require a lot of forgiveness. It may require you to go down this dark memory path that is very hurtful and painful and very, very difficult. And my heart goes out to you if you need to do that. But I'd encourage you to do that so that you can see the freedom and the healing on the other side. You and I have to go that. That's how we embrace reconciliation. You may even find yourself at this place like, I need counseling. Awesome. Get good counseling. Good biblical counseling can be so helpful for us. That can be part of you and I go on this journey. We've got to embrace reconciliation. Okay, remember this too. Yes, we need the principles of life, but we also need the presence of God to experience freedom. And so as you walk through the painful memories of your past, God is with you. His presence is so near. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to help you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to turn his back on you. He's never going to let you down. He is a God who is close, who is near, and he will walk with you. So lean on his strength. Lean on his presence as you do this, as you embrace that responsibility and that reconciliation. Okay, so those are three steps that I'd encourage you to take, starting now, starting today, this year. Embrace reality, embrace responsibility, embrace reconciliation. If you want to experience the healing power of God, and if you want to walk in the freedom that he has, okay, those are some good principles. They'll get you started on this path, but it's a journey that we're going on. And so I just want to be honest with you about this. Again, I wish it was instantaneous, but usually it's a journey. Why? Because our faith grows through that. We learn I really do have to trust God through this process, through this journey. But the end result is that God will and he can transform your life and your heart if you allow him. How does that happen? There's three things in the life transformation process that I want to share with you, because it's important we're aware of these things. Number one is transforming your desires. That's the beginning of transformation. So it starts right there in your desires. What this means is, do you really have a desire to change? It has to start there. Like, do you want freedom? Like, I mean, really, really want it. Because here's what we see too often be the case. People say they want freedom, but what they really want is they don't want to experience the consequences of their actions, but they don't want to change their habits. I just don't want to experience the consequences anymore. Can I be free from that, but keep doing the same thing? Then you don't really want freedom. You don't really want to change. You like the idea of changing, but you don't really want to change. You know when we change? Two times we only change is when we have to or we really want to. Those are the only times people change. I have to or I really do want to. So I have to would be like, hey, the doctor says you better change your diet, you're going to die. All right, done. You can do that. I have to. If there's moments like that that help us to change. Then there's the I really want to. And you have to get to the place where you're so sick of what you're experiencing that you really want something different. And use that energy just to pursue Jesus. Pursue him. Pursue that relationship with him. And find that you can get all the help you need, all of the satisfaction, all of your desires fulfilled in Jesus, in that relationship with him. But it starts here with desire. Do you really have a desire for this? Jesus spoke to this in a story, John 5. And I'll read this to you briefly. This is what took place. This is in John 5, verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there was in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years, a long time, probably his entire life. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Okay, so stop right there. What's Jesus asking him? Do you really have a desire for change? Which is kind of an interesting question. Like, okay, obviously he does. Like, Jesus, why, okay. He's hanging out around this pool. Okay, people believe that if they get into this pool and the water's stirred, that the first one in will get healed. And so all these invalids and people that need physical healing are hanging out there. So he's one of them. So Jesus actually asked him, like, do you want to get healed? Like, I mean, he could have said, like, duh, that's why I'm here, Jesus. Like, everyone here wants to get healed. Okay, so, but Jesus is asking him for a reason because he's getting to the heart of it. Yeah, you're here, but do you really want to get healed? See, there's a lot of people that they like the idea of getting well, but they don't really want to get well because that means they'll experience way too much change. And they're not willing to go down that path. The idea of it sounds great, but it's going to be too hard. So, yes, but not really, if we're honest. That's where our desire is. Yes, but not really. So that's why it's important for us to reconcile this. Do I really desire this? God wants to help transform your desires, and he can do it. Okay, so the story ends right here. The invalid says this, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. Why am I, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Okay, he's making excuses, but Jesus cuts straight to the point and just says, okay, he says this, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured, he picked up his mat, and he walked. Okay, so Jesus healed him instantaneously. And again, I wish that it happened like that every time, like instant. One prayer, done. Done deal. No more. Gone. Past. History. Don't even think about it. You won't even remember it anymore. Wouldn't that be great? But oftentimes, it's a process. Now, Jesus has the power to do it instantaneously. I've seen him do it. I've seen him deliver people, heard stories instantly, but oftentimes it's this process, it's this journey. It starts with transforming your desires, and he'll help you. He'll do it. Romans 12, 2. "Do not copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Come on, you want to be a new person this year? You want to experience new things this year? Let God transform you. And how he's going to do it is he's going to begin changing how you think. I love how the New Living says that. Let God transform you. We're letting God do this work in us. Philippians 2 says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." As you and I allow God to work in us, he does this. He gives us the desire to do the right thing. You'll watch as you continue to lean in him and look to him and continue these next two things I'm going to give you. Your desires will shift and transform because it's him doing it. And your desires will begin to change as you focus in him, as you pursue him. Your desires will begin to change to, I want him, and I just want to do what's right. And all of a sudden, your behavior begins to change because of it. But again, it all centers around your relationship with him and pursuing him. But here's the second thing I would encourage you to do, because this is the second part of the life transformation process, is practicing spiritual exercises. You and I have to do things that train us spiritually. This is why Paul said to Timothy, he said, train yourself to be godly. Just like an athlete would train themselves physically, he's like, spiritually, train yourself. So what's your training regimen right now for your life spiritually? Are you training yourself to be godly? The truth is, you're training yourself. You're training yourself to be who you are right now, already. You already have a training process, and you're experiencing the results of that training process right now. So who you train yourself to become. So Paul says, train yourself to be godly, because that has benefit far beyond even any physical training. So we got to train ourselves. It's these exercises that we can do that can help us. And as we do them, we grow closer to the Lord. Our desires begin to transform. But here's some of the exercises we do. We go into the Word. It's Bible reading. It's prayer. It's worship. It could be personal worship. It's corporate, public worship. Come on, we need to be together in church. This helps us grow. This is a great spiritual exercise and a discipline. Fasting, meditation on Scripture, silence, solitude. All these are great practices. They're great spiritual disciplines. Simplicity, confession, stewardship, celebration, even journaling, just to name a few. Okay, they could go on. There's quite a few exercises that you and I can practice. These help us grow spiritually. This is us training ourselves spiritually. By the way, men, I want to encourage a resource to you. It's called The Art of Manliness. It's a great website, and it's a fabulous podcast. The Art of Manliness. Come on, what man doesn't want to be more manly, right? That just sounds cool. Actually, there's this great article on the Art of Manliness website called Intro to Spiritual Disciplines, and that's where I got a lot of the list of the things I just shared with you is from The Art of Manliness. Hey, if you want to learn how to grow an epic beard, go to The Art of Manliness. It'll teach you steps to epic beard care and how to do that, okay? So, Art of Manliness. I highly recommend it to the dudes, all right? It's great stuff. I listen to the podcast. It's cool. All right, here's the third one. The third step of this life transformation process is developing Christ-like habits. This is where we land. This is where this journey takes us. We want these habits to become just a part of our life. Habits that are Christ-like, not habits that are hurtful. That's what we want. After practicing exercises, allowing God to continue to transform our desires, these things begin to become habits in our life. I begin to act differently, behave differently. So it's not about just behavior modification. It's about my heart being transformed. My desires are changing, and God is the one that is doing it. And we're beginning to see the fruit of the Spirit come out of our life. Galatians 5:22 gives us this list. This is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know what those things are? They're habits. They're habits that we develop in our life as we train ourselves to get those habits out of our life. Fruit of the Spirit is simply habits. So I'd encourage you to go this journey, guys. You've got to embrace reality, responsibility, and reconciliation, and then go this journey of allowing God to transform you from the inside out, transforming your desires, developing or practicing spiritual exercises, and then developing Christ-like habits. That's the journey I want to send you on. Start it now. Let it begin today. Because, my friends, a life of freedom is possible in Jesus. So as you do all those spiritual exercises, it's not about doing them dutifully as a good Christian. It's all about, I'm just spending time with Jesus. And as I do this, I'm getting to know him, and he's transforming my heart. Hey, I read a couple chapters, so Jesus, you should have set me free from that issue in my life, right? It's like I check this off, and because I check this off, Jesus, you got to do this. It's like a transaction. No, it's a transformation over time, not a transaction. I had a friend years ago in college who was just a really good buddy of mine. We did lots of fun things together, road trips, lots of cool things we did in college. And after college, shortly after college, he came down with cancer. Never forget when he sent out the message to all of us, all of his friends, via mass email. This is before Facebook and MySpace and all that kind of stuff. He said, hey guys, I've got cancer. So we're praying for healing, believing God's going to heal him and touch him. A little bit later on, he communicates to us again. He says, guys, I'm blind. This cancer has caused me to not be able to see anymore. I've lost my sight. And so I'm thinking, man, my friend, he's going down quickly. God, heal him. And I made sure to spend some time with him. And I went and spent a day with him, and it was an interesting, very surreal day as I had to lead him everywhere. He would put his hand on my shoulder, and I'd walk him around. I led him to my car, drive him around town. We did some errands, went to church that day, had to lead him everywhere. And it was just a very interesting experience. And my heart was just kind of feeling pain for my friend. And I just was believing, God, touch him, heal him. And a little while after that, he messaged all of us again. He said, hey, guys, I've got to go be with my family. He lived several states away from his family. So he's like, as this thing is progressing, I got to be with my parents. I need to go home. Made sense. Okay, it's understandable. But then shortly after that, he messaged all of us again. And he said, hey, guys, I've got to be honest with you and let you know I've been lying to you for the last several months. He says, I never had cancer. I never became blind because of cancer. He says, I made this all up. And he says, I hope someday you find it in your heart to forgive me. I know this is so wrong and I should never have done this, but I'm going to try to get better. I'm going to go to counseling. I'm going to try to work through some things because here's the deal. And he began to open up and confess, even in this email. He says, I was abused as a child and I've never talked about it ever till now. Which is a horrible thing for anyone to experience. And so for him, he never dealing with that, kind of suppressing it. For him, maybe he felt like this, it felt like cancer inside of him. So he just created this whole world and this whole lie. You know, who knows? He had convinced himself of all of this and why he did it. But it all was connected to this very painful thing from the past that he had never dealt with. See, our past can affect our present and can cause us to do crazy things. It may not be like that for you, but I promise you, if you have undealt issues in your past, it is affecting you now. It's affecting relationships, it's affecting your work, and it's affecting your ability to have a free life and an amazing relationship with Jesus. Do you want to be free? Do you really want to be free? Well, Jesus says he can help, and he offers you a life of freedom. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to pray. My hope is that you and I would be honest with ourselves. We'd embrace some reality, and maybe there's some things you need to really think through and process and deal with. Not because it's fun, I know it's painful, but because on the other side of it is healing and freedom. And we have a God who wants to walk through all of that with us. Amen. And he loves us in spite of our failures and all of that. Man, his love is so amazing. He wants to walk with you. But come on, be courageous. Walk through some of those memories so that you can be free and be healed. For some of you, maybe it just begins with that relationship with Jesus. Maybe for the first time you're going to commit to him and then begin this journey of allowing him to change you from the inside out. My prayer for you is that this year you would experience new areas of freedom and new levels of freedom. Do you want that? Why don't you join me in prayer right now? Lord, thank you for your grace. And I feel like even right now, many of us here need to embrace your grace. As we talk about embracing reality and hardships and pain and different things, Lord, I pray that we would embrace your grace. Your grace is here for us in the midst of all of this. Lord, I pray that people would know that they don't have to be stuck anymore, that they can be free, that they can move forward, and that you can do a new work in their life. And so, Lord, I pray that you begin to stir up faith inside of them right now and courage to face and deal with some of these things from the past. But I pray for my friends that they would deal with these things. They would not suppress them. They would not try to cope with them any longer, but they would deal with them in a proper, healthy way starting right now, I pray, so they can see freedom. Jesus, we don't want to read about the freedom you offer. We want to experience it. Jesus, we thank you that you went to the cross so that we could be forgiven and free. So we want the power of the cross to work in our hearts and our minds today, right now, in this moment. Lord, I pray that freedom would reign in this place again, and freedom would reign in our hearts. Eyes closed. If you're here this morning, you'd say, hey, I need to deal with some issues and let go of some stuff and really walk through some memories so that I can be free. But I'm committing to go on this journey and allowing God to transform my life. If that's you, just slip your hand up right now. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for courage and strength to do that, to go that journey. Well, you see our hands right now, Lord. Lord, you know our hearts. You know the memories. You know our past. You know our mistakes. You know other people's mistakes, Lord. Anybody else, just lift your hand up right now. Say, this is me. I want to go the journey of freedom and experience his healing power in my life. Come on, let it be. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to this message of Bell Road Church. We hope you enjoyed it and that God spoke to you through it. Be sure to connect with us online via Twitter, Facebook, and at bellroadchurch.com.